You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome in to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at Vivid Seats. Download the Vivid Seats app or go to vividseats.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and from there you will get $20 off your initial order of $200 or more. As we chat on this Wednesday, we are now literally just 1 week away from the opening of the 2018-2019 Houston Rockets season. That's next Wednesday night at home against the New Orleans Pelicans, also nationally televised, I believe, on ESPN. So we are almost out of the doldrums. I know preseason basketball, while it's still basketball, it's not the real thing. Well, we're almost to the real thing, and we're now 80% through four of the five games through the preseason. So we do have some things to discuss. We have had some time, really, as I mentioned, 80% of the data to analyze, to make some big picture analysis as we head towards the regular season and Mike D'Antoni tries to formulate his rotation. And when I think of big picture analysis, one of the first guys I think of is my friend Karthik Prasad, a.k.a. Stanford KP on Twitter. We've had him on the show a few times before. I believe most recently, about 2 months ago, when we were breaking down the scheduled release when it came out in August. And now, 2 months later, we're finally about ready to kick off that schedule. So first things first, Karthik, welcome back. How are you, my friend?
Good. Thanks for having me on again. I'm excited. The season's right around the corner.
Absolutely. Same here. It's nice to have basketball in the preseason, but it's going to be even nicer to have basketball that actually counts starting next week. And Karthik, I mentioned big picture with you because I think you're one of the best guys on Rockets Twitter at contextualizing things. And so when we talk about these first four games to the Rockets of the preseason, 80% of the data being in, what is the headline in your eyes? What's the thing that really jumps out through four games as the lead storyline, good or bad, but I would say generally most impactful relative to, say, your expectations 2 weeks ago going into training camp?
I think at the highest level, it's just that this team, even though there's been a change in some of the wings and we've got new guys coming in, we are actually deeper, I think, and more versatile than we were last year. And, you know, you can start with Carmelo Anthony, you can talk about Michael Carter Williams, James Ennis, but they've all had their moments in the preseason and fit in seamlessly. And I think that that's just been a great encouraging sign and is a testament to why we went out and got them, but also what the potential that they can bring for us this year.
I know you said on Twitter yesterday you were ready to make some bold takes about Carmelo Anthony, and I'll start there. Because what I've liked from Carmelo this preseason, there's been very little in the way of ego. He's actually been used a lot of different ways. He started a couple of games when P.J. Tucker was out with the back injury. He came off the bench that game in San Antonio when P.J. Tucker returned. We've also seen him play small ball at the five in certain lineups. So he's been, you know, yanked around a little bit, not really a consistent role. And that was one of the questions. Would he accept that? And not only has he accepted, he's flourished. He's averaging almost 14 points a game in 27 minutes, shooting above 53% from the field, 50% from three-point range. Yes, I know teams are not really dialed in the preseason, so you have to take all those numbers with a caveat. But at the same time, the fact that mentally he's shown a willingness to accept those different roles, to me, it's really encouraging. So I'm curious your thoughts on Carmelo, where you were at, because I know you were already pretty high on him. You had talked yourself into him by the time the Rockets signed him in August. And now, after having seen him in a multitude of different roles in the preseason, I think you have to feel pretty good that he's more adaptable maybe than some of his critics made him out to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and this is what we talked about a couple of months ago, I think, was just his mindset and how he came here was just as important as the fact that he came here. And his willingness to be open to different roles, sign for the veteran minimum, that all was good coming in, and we've only seen the benefits of that. My bold proclamation, though, is that I think he flirts with 40% from three this year. Mm. And I think that that's just not because he shot from 50% from the three in the preseason, just because of the types of shots he's getting, a lot of early transition looks, a lot of just wide open catch and shoot threes. And I think he's also just been focused on it in the entire offseason, I should say, in terms of getting ready to be able to shoot a higher volume of catch and shoot threes. And so I'm just excited. I think if he gets close to that number, I mean, look out. I think it could be really, really impactful for our offense.
Another guy I want to ask you about, because, well, you're the founding member of his fan club, is James Ennis. We're through four preseason games. He's a bit under the radar. He's only played a little under 26 minutes per game, I think because he seemed to be targeted as much as anyone with the NBA's freedom of movement emphasis. He's gotten in a little bit of foul trouble. Now, I do expect that once the regular season games get here, they'll pull back on the throttle a little bit. I think the officials want to make that an emphasis in the preseason. But Karthik, his efficiency, over 11 points per game, 4 rebounds per game in those 26 minutes, nearly 2 steals. But the real story is that he's shooting almost 57% from the field and over 46% from 3. Yes, I understand that it's the preseason and not everybody is dialed in. That's true. But at the same time, it's tough to post those numbers against air. And while some of the numbers, you know, from 2-point range, clearly he gets out in transition, he provides another dimension. Well, again, it's not just the twos because he's almost making 50% of his threes. So to me, it's a small sample, but if you're in the James Ennis fan club, which I know you are, you have to feel pretty encouraged about what you've seen from him in 4 games, especially in the context of replacing Trevor Ariza, because really, I mean, we're seeing some things from Ennis, particularly his transition game, that I would say a 32-year-old Ariza didn't even do a year ago, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's really a testament to the intentions that the Rockets had when they signed him, which was like, James Ennis can bring speed to the offense in transition. And I talk a lot about like how you space the floor. And I mean, to me, there's 3 dimensions. Can you space it longitudinally by running down the floor and adding speed and getting out in front of the defense? Can you space it horizontally and get to the 3-point line and actually be effective as a shooter? And he's done both, but I think he's also bringing a vertical spacing by being a lob threat, attacking the rim. And that's something that I think we got in pieces from either Luke or Ariza last year. But if he can bring that consistently, and he's shown pieces of it in the preseason, that'll be huge for us. So that's generally one thought. And then the second is just, you know, Ali Bajania, now at the Athletic, had a great kind of breakdown of his shooting mechanics, and we were going back and forth on Twitter and how he's sped up his release and spent a lot of time this summer really honing his mechanics. And I think you're starting to see some of the fruits of those, of that labor, in terms of he's able to get a shot off. I remember one game in particular, he had a nice step back 3. I mean, those are things we hadn't seen from him in his prior stops. And so if he can continue to get opportunities in this kind of free flowing system, I mean, there's a lot of potential in this guy. And the fact that he's younger and more explosive as an athlete, I think is really encouraging to me.
Yeah, it's interesting to me to see just how hard that motor runs, because when he's not on your team, clearly you see flashes, you see the highlights, but to me, and now granted, he's been in a little bit of foul trouble, so it's not like you've seen him play 30-plus minutes, but with the depth of this Rockets team, I don't know if that's the plan for him anyway. To see that motor as consistent as it's been this preseason, going back and forth between the Astros and the Rockets now, but to see that motor that consistent, and then to see the efficiency coupled with that, you mentioned the superior mechanics from prior years. He really seemed to struggle after the deadline with Detroit last year. There's a lot to be encouraged about with James Ennis, and so I think I'm right there with you. To me, Carmelo Anthony, James Ennis, they're at the forefront of the list when it comes to guys that have stood out in camp to this point. Now, they're not the only guys that have stood out. We'll talk more about some other standouts, including, I would say, the depth at the end of the bench in a few moments. We'll also discuss today's news of the day in NBA circles, which is the Jimmy Butler fiasco. Stay tuned for that, because there's possibly a Rockets impact there. We'll be breaking it down in a few moments, but for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at Vivid Seats, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Now, if you want to attend an upcoming Rockets game and see this fun team, be it the regular season or even the postseason down the line, or if you just want to go to any other entertainment event, sports or otherwise, the Astros have some big-time ALCS games next week. Whatever you want to do, I strongly encourage you to go to Vivid Seats, because our sponsors, they've got you covered. They make it very easy for you to attend the concert, show, or sporting event of your choice, and all at a great price. That's because Vivid Seats, They're your top source for tickets for all the live events, and one reason they're a preferred source for so many fans is because they make the buying process remarkably easy. You can sort by price or even look for seats in the specific section and row of your choice. Now, to make things even better and save even more money, Vivid Seats is giving our Locked On Rockets listeners an exclusive promo code for new customers to receive $20 off their orders of $200 or more. Go to the App Store or Google Play or vividseats.com. Download the Vivid Seats app if you're going to the App Store or Google Play, and then you can use the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more as a new customer. Every purchase is then backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. So from the biggest concerts and games all the way down to the hottest theater and more, Vivid Seats has it all. So why not make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let Vivid Seats help you get to your favorite live event? So in closing, support our sponsors, download the app, and enter the promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your orders of $200 or more. Now, jumping back into the program, we let off discussing between myself, Ben Dubose, and today's guest, my friend Karthik Prasad, Stanford KP on Twitter, and we've been talking about the standouts of the Rockets through preseason. It's a good time to think bigger picture because we're 80% of the way through the preseason. We have most of the data points that we're going to get, and as we chat this Wednesday evening, we're now just literally 1 week away from the start of the regular season. And I would say the headliners, I think we're in agreement, Carmelo Anthony and James Ennis, for slightly different reasons. They're newcomers, you want to see what they have, and also James Harden and Chris Paul. Yeah, it was great to see James score 37 points last night. It was also great to see Chris Paul in the opener a week or so ago have 22-9 on 5 of 6 from three and all those ridiculous numbers, but you know what you're getting from those guys. It's the variables that you wonder about, and Carmelo and James Ennis, because they're newcomers, because they're role players, I think they're amongst the guys that Rockets fans are most curious about, and so far so good. But they're far from the only guys who have flashed in this first week. And when you look at the bench options, Karthik, I've been really, by and large, encouraged. If there's one, I would say, source of pessimism, it's that no one has really emerged at the backup center spot between Marquese Chris and Isaiah Hartenstein. Now, maybe part of that is also that both of them have been dealing with ankle injuries. But even though neither has stood out, you also have seen Carmelo Anthony look good as a backup five. So I'm not even sure how big of a deal that is, at least to start the season. At some point over 82, you're probably going to need that body. But for now, assuming Clint Capela is healthy, and by the way, Mike D'Antoni at Rockets practice today, he did say that Clint Capela, Eric Gordon, basically all of his injured guys other than Brandon Knight, who's out with the infection in a surgically repaired knee, will get a timetable after the preseason. D'Antoni says that he expects all of his big guns other than Knight and Marquese Chris to be available for the preseason finale Friday in Memphis. So as suspected, a lot of these injuries are in fact minor. It's just the Rockets are going to be proactive because A, it's the preseason, and B, they're going to be especially proactive because last night was against the Shanghai Sharks, not even an NBA team. But going down the list, Carmelo and Ennis, I think those are a good, you know, 1A, 1B as far as top storylines. But I would say the depth towards the end of the bench has really surprised me, Karthik. The two guys that I've raved about, Michael Carter-Williams, he hasn't played this week, but first week he was a bit of a revelation in transition, getting to the bucket, even though he couldn't shoot. It didn't really seem to matter because there was enough spacing that he still had his driving lanes. And then the other guy that I don't think he's gotten enough to is Gary Clark, who he's played in all four games. It's clear he's ahead of the curve when it comes to the rookies at the end of the bench, undrafted forward out of Cincinnati, but averaging over 16 minutes per game. The real tell, he's shooting over 52% from the field and over 53% from behind the arc in those 16 minutes, and he really flashed against the Shanghai Sharks last night. It's a lot to expect an undrafted rookie to play in year one, but he's showing you things that maybe even by the second half of this year, if there are injuries, but certainly by next summer, in my opinion, he's very intriguing as a 3-and-D guy. He does have length at 6'8". He's worked in his mechanics. So there's a lot to like. But just curious your thoughts on those guys, MCW and Gary Clark, because I didn't know what to make of either of those guys entering training camp, especially Gary Clark, because he's an undrafted rookie. But I'm seeing signs that certainly with Michael Carter-Williams, but maybe even Gary Clark, that these are guys who could give you very real rotation minutes relatively quickly.
Yeah, and I think they both are fit in the broader theme of the Rockets putting guys in positions to play to their strengths and not forcing them to deal with their weaknesses. And Michael Carter-Williams, I mean, what we've seen from him is he's being asked to push the pace, initiate the offense, attack the rim, rebound on the defensive side, and just make plays. And I think he's able to play free. He's talked about it. I think, you know, certainly given his experience level and his length, he'll get minutes, and that'll be really nice to see how he can contribute. And I think they might treat him more as like a defensive wing that can provide offense. And I always think about if the Warriors can make Sean Livingston work, and Sean doesn't take any threes,
yep,
but he plays his own offensive game and pushes the pace, we can do that with Michael Carter Williams. And so that's him. And then I think with Gary Clark, I mean, Kelly Eichel had a great profile on him earlier in the off season, but he's hungry. And I think that if he's over his ankle injuries and able to shoot effectively, I mean, I'm guessing he'll start the season on a two-way contract. But the way we have the system set up with down in Rio Grande Valley and how they train guys down there for our system that we have at the pro level, then I think it's only a matter of time before he gets really comfortable. But he brings a different skill set, I think, because he's a mix of a three-point shooter, but he can also rebound. He can also kind of provide weak side defensive support. And so a lot to like there. And, you know, we have the luxury of being patient and really grooming him to what we need him to be.
Yeah, I've been asked who would he theoretically replace in the rotation. And you look up, I mean, I guess the closest thing would be Gerald Green. But look what Gerald Green gave you a year ago. It's remarkable how deep this team is. And when you were speaking about Michael Carter Williams, to revert back to that, because I think just based on his age, you're going to see more from MCW early than Gary Clark, just based on where each is at in their NBA careers. This is barring injuries, of course. But with MCW, it's not a clear path to minutes anyway, because look, the point guard spot, even though that's what he's been for his career, look, when Chris Paul and James Harden are healthy, they're going to play all 48 minutes at the one. And then you have Eric Gordon also in the mix as far as filling some of those at the two spots. So, yeah, he's in that mix as far as the wings. And the thing that I'm wondering about, we haven't seen Brandon Knight yet. And there might be a bias to the guys we have seen. I know Knight at times has been, you know, a dynamic scorer, clearly in the NBA. It remains to be seen exactly what he has in the tank coming off a year absence with the ACL tear. But if you had asked Rockets fans before camp, I think that fourth guard spot, whoever sops up the minutes at the two, maybe occasionally the three after Chris Paul, James Harden, and Eric Gordon, I think you would have said most fans, based on pedigree, Brandon Knight, maybe to a small extent, Gerald Green. I'm wondering if, you know, you mentioned the Sean Livingston parallel, and I see that. I'm not necessarily convinced that even if Brandon Knight gets a clean bill of health, that Brandon Knight plays ahead of Michael Carter Williams. Now, it's going to be dependent on matchups, of course, and certainly Brandon Knight is more capable as a shooter and as a scorer, but if you can limit how many outside shots that MCW has to take, and that's why I like the Livingston comparison, because it's not just the fact that, you know, he doesn't shoot threes, and the fact that the Warriors have figured out a way to use him to where he doesn't even have to take very many, so they play to his strengths. Then when you factor in Michael Carter Williams, who can be, you know, he's longer than Brandon Knight, he's a plus on the defensive end of the floor. You know, I like the idea of Brandon Knight as a turnaround story, but to me, even if he gets a clean bill of health, I'm not sold that he automatically jumps ahead of MCW after what we've seen from Carter Williams in training camp. Is that a reasonable assessment? Just curious how you break that down, because to me, you know, the minutes, they shrink pretty quickly on a team with this kind of depth, and so I'd be surprised if both of those guys are in the rotation at the same time, barring injury.
So let's think about it. I mean, obviously Eric Gordon's spot in the rotation as basically a pseudo starter is locked. Then you have Michael Carter Williams, you have Gerald Green, and Brandon Knight competing for minutes at either backup point guard, essentially, or backup wing. And you're right. Like, there's only enough minutes for two of them to really get meaningful time. And so I think for me, given the strengths of this team right now, in which we want to first have either James or Chris on the floor at all times, and that they will overlap with Eric Gordon, that you need more length to start out the season, I think.
Right.
And so I see Michael Carter-Williams almost like a backup to James Ennis, kind of.
Okay.
In terms of coming on, providing a spark, being able to defend, you know, the best perimeter player, things like that. And so I think his path to minutes, at least early on, is clear. And the fact that he can also be an initiator of the offense is an added bonus. Now, if we think about if Brandon Knight comes back healthy, full strength, and is actually, you know, in practice starting to do things, what could happen? I mean, that's something that would be a great problem to have first, but I could imagine them thinking about, you know, where should they, you know, what should they do? And in that, and I think that opens up some trade scenarios. I think that opens up some other lineup configurations, especially if they decide to use Carmelo more as a backup five, and maybe one of these guys essentially plays a backup four. But it's the right question to be asking that I don't know that we have figured out yet.
As we wrap up the show, let's move into a more fun question to ask, which is, what in the world is going on in Minnesota? It's been a remarkable day on Twitter, the story broken by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, and then details trickling in through a number of outlets. Jimmy Butler, who, of course, demanded the trade about a month ago. Yes, the Rockets do have interest, but I believe on the right terms. Would they give Eric Gordon? Yes. Would they give Eric Gordon and P.J. Tucker? No. As great as Jimmy Butler is, possibly a top 10 talent in the NBA, I don't think he's worth both of those guys, especially given how important P.J. Tucker is to the Rockets on the defensive end of the floor. That said, the Rockets can get a top 10 player for cheap. You know good and well that Daryl Morey is going to be ready to pounce. And we might be closer to some resolution, be it to the Rockets, the Heat, or anyone else, because Jimmy Butler did report today to Minnesota training camp, and wow, apparently he took the floor. I'm going to read the best story card that I've seen is from Chris Haynes, now of Yahoo, because some of these details are just hilarious. I'm going to start with this. I ain't never seen some expletive like that. Jimbo showed out, one of Minnesota's players told Yahoo. Butler showed up to practice late and just subbed himself into the scrimmage on the third team to go against the starting group. Throughout the practice, Butler verbally bashed Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, Tom Thibodeau, and GM Scott Layden. Screaming from the top of his lungs, Butler uttered taunts at his teammates such as "they ain't bleep" and "they soft." Most of the players knew the expletives were directed at Towns and Wiggins. Butler naturally wasn't in the best of shape, but he held his own. At one point, Butler found himself guarding Towns in the post. When the big man received the entry pass, Butler yelled, "He can't do bleep against me," and Towns ended up kicking the ball out, which is pretty hilarious. Neither Towns nor Wiggins confronted Butler at any point, and apparently, only fitting for this circus in Minnesota, and it kind of shows you why Jimmy Butler wants out, not only did he not get confronted, apparently Wiggins eventually even gave him a hand dap, of all things. So, McCarthy, your initial reactions, first things first, I mean, it clearly seems kind of hilarious, but this to me almost seems like, and I understand that some of it was staged, ESPN is there, and so he wanted to make a scene, but, you know, even if some of it's staged, the point is, once you get to this point, it seems like we're way past the point of any return for Minnesota. So be it to Houston, to Miami, somewhere else, when you go through this level of dysfunction, which is, I would say, even by NBA soap opera circles, this is unprecedented. It feels like there has to be resolution pretty soon to Jimmy Butler one way or another, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to make some kind of change here. Either you trade Butler, which I think is the most logical outcome, or somehow you trade Wiggins, or you trade, or you fire Thibodeau, or something has to happen, because, you know, Jimmy Butler is being intentional about going nuclear on this team. Like, because I think he's fed up, right? I mean, he doesn't want to be there, and so I think it's a matter of time. I think the owner is getting more and more involved. He gave them the leeway to explore with Miami, and now I think it's just time, because this is just a bad look for the entire organization. I just find it so funny that he just went through this entire length to essentially embarrass his own teammates while ESPN was just waiting outside for an interview right after. I mean, it's crazy to think about. And but it will have the effect of, one, reducing Minnesota's leverage, and two, increasing the urgency. And so from that perspective, I think he's making progress in getting out of there. It's just, you know, whether or not they actually decide to act on it. But I've got to think that they will.
Yeah, and the thing that's weird to me about the reaction on Twitter, I've seen so much in the Rockets Twitter community saying, are you sure you want this guy? And I have a couple of reactions to this. First, I don't think that Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins come off as particularly good in this story. To see them essentially fade from it, to not even confront him, along with various other stories we've heard over the months, you can't blame Jimmy Butler, in my opinion, for not being all in on this situation. Keep in mind, this is a Minnesota organization that until this past year, led by Jimmy Butler, got into the playoffs in the last game of the year. They hadn't been in the playoffs in over 10 years. So with Butler in the prime of his career at 29, these dynamics, it is fair to see why Butler, going into the last year of his contract, wouldn't want to commit to that franchise long term. And while these circus acts, while certainly, you know, it's not fun, at the same time, he's trying to control whatever he can on his end to move the process closer to a conclusion. So while I'm not going to say it's a good thing, I do, at least to some small extent, understand where he's coming from. The other part of it, Karthik, how many times have we heard, you know, somebody's not going to fit in Houston, there's chemistry risk. First, we heard it with Chris Paul, and we all know how headstrong he is. How is he going to fit with James? Then we heard it with Carmelo Anthony. Is he going to accept coming off the bench? Would he accept conceivably playing as a small ball five? All these types of different roles. And guess what? They've worked together just fine. So I think at some point, nationally, we need to start appreciating the idea of Rockets culture. So my friend Chris White on Twitter doing that as a hashtag, Rockets culture, I really buy into that. This idea that Jimmy Butler or anyone would go into Houston and be a distraction. Look, in Houston, you've got the reigning MVP in James Harden. You've got two Hall of Famers in Chris Paul and Carmelo Anthony. You've got infrastructure in place that in Minnesota, it's nowhere close. It's an organization that, again, until Butler led them there himself this past year, had not even been in the playoffs in nearly 15 years. So to me, I don't see the reaction that some are that he's not worth it. I'm not going to say it's a positive. I wouldn't go that far. But I'm also not really deterred. To me, if you can get Butler to Houston without giving up both Gordon and Tucker, whatever the events of today are, they don't scare me away from him. Is that your reaction? Or, you know, how do you take it from a Rockets perspective?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. I mean, when you're a top 15 player in this league, and some could argue Butler is a top 10 player, there's an unspoken, I think, language and standard that you hold, you want to hold your teammates to, and there are only a few places around the league in which that actually happens, and Houston is one of them, right? And we've actually seen the other side of it. We've seen when you have players that don't get along and that they can't rise above their differences. But here now, and I'm a big proponent of the Rockets culture, and we talked about how Chris and James set it in stone, and that's what made Melo coming here even more appealing. It's the same thing with Jimmy. There's a place for him to fit in, a system for him to buy into, and a talent level that he will respect. And that's pretty much everything he's looking for. Now, do we have to make this trade? I don't know. But if he came here, I think you're right. I mean, it's all about the conditions for success. I think culture and talent level and building a system is, since the Dwight saga, has been the top of mind for Daryl Morey. I mean, that's what you need in order to have stars come here and stars succeed here. And so, you know, if this were to happen, I would have no reservations. But again, it's all just about the price and making sure we keep the right pieces in place.
The one thing that gives me a little bit of hope as we transition, closing out this podcast, talking about the hypothetical to the reality, does it have a chance? Minnesota, throughout this process, organizationally, seems so emotional and reactionary, it gives me a little bit of hope. The one news, before everything went crazy in Minnesota, the one piece of news that was somewhat encouraging for the Rockets, Stefano Fusaro, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, an ESPN Bureau reporter based out of Houston, reported Wednesday morning, according to a league source, the Wolves contacted the Rockets again Tuesday morning after their failed deal with Miami this past weekend. Minnesota was still adamant on receiving Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, but Houston will not put Tucker on the table, which I absolutely believe that. That fits very well with everything I've heard about the situation. And to me, I've become, as the weeks have passed, more pessimistic on it, only because with all the focus on Minnesota and Miami, and according to Woj, the deal being so close last weekend that Minnesota gave Miami medical information on Butler, it just seems like, for whatever reason, maybe they're really enthralled with Josh Richardson. Maybe they just want to send him to the Eastern Conference no matter what. It seems like Miami is their preferred partner. That said, the one thing that gives me a little bit of hope, this report that the Wolves contacted the Rockets again Tuesday, and then everything else that's been so dysfunctional throughout this process, there's so much emotion. If Tom Thibodeau and Glenn Taylor feel like Miami's holding out on them, Or who knows, maybe even the fact that Jimmy Butler has allegedly listed Miami as his preferred destination. Maybe after going through this circus today, they don't want to give him what he wants. To me, the one piece of hope I have for the Rockets, because I don't think they're going to cave and give both Gordon and Tucker. I think it's going to be Gordon plus Nene plus future assets, be it prospects, picks, whatever it may be. And while I don't think it's likely, I think it's enough to have the Rockets in the game. And again, what the percentages are, I have no idea. But I think there's at least a chance that Minnesota's emotional enough, reactionary enough, that for whatever reason, they might not want to send him to Miami. And if that's the case, Houston is sitting in a pretty decent position with Eric Gordon, which isn't a great offer, but certainly it's better than the scenario that Minnesota currently finds himself in. So while I wouldn't characterize myself as optimistic, I would say that it's at least, there's still a reasonable path to where you could see a deal between Minnesota and Houston work. Is that where you're at? Just curious your thoughts on the actual logistics at this point.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically where I'm at, and I think that the last we heard about the Rockets being at the table was about 2 weeks ago, and then they turned their attention to Miami. And I think Daryl Morey's path to the deal, you're right, it does not really include both of Eric and Gordon and PJ, but I think getting a third team involved and having the time to create some of those scenarios and understanding what could be moved in terms of contracts and salary dumps, those types of things. I mean, that the longer this goes, the more creative avenues open up. And so now it's kind of reaching this inflection point of urgency meets chaos meets potentially new scenarios that weren't on the table before. And so I do see this coming to an end soon, but I also, you're right. I mean, like, the Rockets have been there throughout the process. They've said they're willing to be at the table. And so, you know, there is a chance, that he comes here, but you're right. I don't think it's the first, you know, the primary destination, I should say.
And are you on board with the idea that, look, as great as Eric Gordon is, I think the team loves him, he's a great fit, it's wonderful that he accepts his role the way he does, whether he starts at the three, whether he comes off the bench again. Look, I'm a big fan of Eric Gordon, but at the same time, if you can turn him into Jimmy Butler, I think you have to do it. And that's no disrespect to Eric, he's a big part of the team, but to me, the talent gap between those two, particularly when you factor in Butler on the defensive end and how much you need two-way players against the Warriors, if you can get Jimmy Butler and the only part of your current rotation that goes out is Eric Gordon, it's no disrespect to Gordon at all. To me, you have to do it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one. If a deal came through at that level, I think they would have to do it. And it's just and you look at the other thing. I mean, Eric Gordon's only under contract for an additional year. And we approached him with an extension that wasn't, you know, for credit to him, wasn't the smartest decision for him to take that extension. And so he will want to test the market. I think he'll want to get a new opportunity. And so as painful as it would be to potentially lose him, I think, you know, for him personally could be a greater opportunity and set up the rest of his career. So, you know, it's not all one-sided, so to speak. And I think that if that was the trade, I mean, they would have to do it.
Folks, he's Karthik Prasad. Follow him on Twitter at StanfordKP. Karthik, thanks so much for the time and look forward to catching up with you soon.
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate the time and the opportunity and looking forward to next week.
Absolutely. Great chat there with Karthik. We're already a little bit over our usual allotted time, so I won't keep you all any longer. We'll break things right here and get ready for, well, what's a little under 2 days away now from the final game, the fifth and final of the Rockets preseason, that being at Memphis on Friday night. So until then, if you want more news, the best place to get it is on Twitter. And if you're not on there, please join, because wow, has it been a great day in the NBA Twitter world with all the Jimmy Butler circus news out of Minnesota. But anyway, if you want to follow me on there, I'm at Ben Dubose. The show is at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we've also got a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. Always, you can access our prior show content, ask me questions about the team, or inquire about how to become a potential sponsor the same way that Vivid Seats was today. Remember, download the Vivid Seats app or go to VividSeats.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and from there, you can get $20 off your first order of $200 or more as a new customer. If you use that promo code, you support our sponsors. That's how you keep things going as the most regular, with us, I should say, here at Locked On Rockets, the most regular podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, besides supporting our sponsors, please subscribe if you haven't already. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Megaphone. Odds are, wherever you listen to your podcasts, you can find us and a lot of other great shows that are part of a great network at the Lockdown Podcast Network. Subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star review. That's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers, and that's how you'll get our new episodes right when they come out. And if you haven't checked out our sister shows already, the Lockdown Podcast Network has shows across the NFL, NBA, but also some Major League Baseball and college sports here around Houston. We've also got Lockdown Texans covering the Houston Texans. That's with my friends Robert Land and Brian Patterson. And Lockdown Aggies covering Texas A&M sports. That's football right now. That's hosted by Taylor Travis up in College Station. So if you haven't downloaded or checked out those shows, I strongly encourage you to check those out if you're into Houston Texans football or Texas A&M football, both of which are in full swing right now. As stated before, this will do it for today. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Wednesdays, but stay tuned to wherever you listen to Locked on Rockets, because we'll be back very soon recapping the final game of the preseason Friday night and breaking in with whenever there's finality, positive or negative, on the Jimmy Butler front as the Timberwolves continue to turn, in Minnesota. Until next time, I'm Ben Dubose. This is Locked on Rockets. Thanks for listening.